This is the News at 5 on WRKC Wilkes-Barre.
Good evening. This is the WRKC News at 5. I'm Program Director Nick Rotundo. Thank you for joining us. Tonight's top stories are on the Quest Retreat, a lecture on the Bible and Quran, and part two of Monarch Spring Football. We'll also get a special WrestleMania sports update and your forecast for the rest of the week. Father Dan Issing and Tammy Singer of the Cheval Center hosted the Quest Retreat at St. Gabriel's Monastery. The retreat focused on finding a deeper meaning in life. Station manager Jessica Mulligan attended Quest this past weekend.
Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant searching for fine pearls. When he finds a pearl of great price, he goes and sells all that he has and buys it. This message, a passage from the Bible, was the motif of the inaugural Quest Retreat. This retreat was meant to inspire deeper and happier living for King's students seeking to encounter life and their purpose in it, which is a new direction from the previously annually occurring King's Encounters Christ Retreat. This 48-hour experience, which happened from March 24th to the 26th, was led by Father Dan Issing, with the assistance of campus ministers such as Father Brent Kruger, Father Chase Pepper, Tammy Singer of the Cheval Center, Juliana Lapiana, Maria Glenn, and Professor Jim Ambury of Philosophy. Also along for the journey were eight student leaders, led by junior Andy Gardner and assisted by sophomore Noelle Vermouth. Hannah Bowmaster, a sophomore early and special education major, acted as the prayer coordinator for the trip. She explained the three parts of the retreat and its purpose: the search in one's own life and memory, the finding of spiritual and relationship treasure, and the meditation that is necessary for one's happiness.
The purpose of the Quest Retreat was to find what your end goal was to look for. So the first part was the quest, which was to figure out what your mission kind of was for the retreat. The second part was the find, to figure out what you need to be looking for to get to this end point. And the last part was the embrace, which was to embrace this new way of life in the way that you want to get to this way of life.
She explained the roles that different leaders had on this retreat.
There was a student leader team of about 10 people. A bunch of them did different talks incorporating these three different levels of the retreat. One person did music, one person did the prayers, and it was just kind of to incorporate all the different aspects in life and how you can grow.
Next, she explained the prep time for the retreat.
There were about three or so additional meetings just to make sure everybody was on the same page and so that the student leaders and the staff leaders would be able to get to know each other and talk, so it was a welcoming experience for the retreatants when they showed up.
Many pieces made up the full retreat experiences, including time of reflection, music and prayer services, student talks, time for meditation, social time, and even fun group activities. Bowmaster explained her favorite part of the weekend and why.
My favorite part of the weekend was getting into smaller groups of retreatants and being able to learn each of their stories and tell them my story and just kind of make a little tiny little family.
For the future, she believes that everyone should consider participation in the Quest Retreat and whether or not those who do not practice religion would still be able to gain something from it.
I think it definitely would be. There was a part that was a religious aspect, but it wasn't demanded of them. It was just incorporated, and this retreat was more of a overall arcing theme, so if it didn't incorporate religion, it doesn't mean it was a wrong thought process for that person. I would say that it would be a great opportunity just to learn about yourself and more people on this campus.
The location of the retreat is St. Gabriel's Monastery, a 40-minute bus ride from King's College's campus.
St. Gabriel's is a wonderful place, and I miss it every single time I leave. They are so kind to us. The food that they make is amazing, and they're just so welcoming, and they will do anything. If we need something, they will find a way to find it for us.
Finally, Bowmaster explained briefly how she has grown through the retreat.
I've grown by understanding the parts that I need to find and develop and embrace and make a change in my own life. The retreat was definitely an experience I don't think I was ready to have. as a leader, and I was really happy that I didn't expect it, and it really made the retreat more than what I thought it was going to be.
To those who participated in the King's College Quest Retreat this weekend, keep your eyes on your emails for information about reunion meetings and time for reflections on your own experiences. For WRKC News at 5, I am Station Manager Jessica Mulligan.
It's more important now than ever to academically discuss what the Quran means in Western culture. Dr. Gabriel Saeed Reynolds of Notre Dame compared the Christian Bible to the Islamic Quran at the annual Grimes Lecture on Monday. News director Katie Pugh attended the event.
Father Donald Grimes was a professor, counselor, and administrator at King's College until his death in 2005. Since then, a lecture examining theology and religion from an academic perspective has been held in his honor annually. This year's event, hosted by the McGowan Center for Ethics and Social Responsibility and the King's College Honors Program, Notre Dame Islamic Studies professor Dr. Gabriel Saeed Reynolds. Dr. Saeed Reynolds compared the theological and literary similarities and differences in the Bible and the Quran. From the theological perspective, Dr. Saeed Reynolds discussed the aspects of revelation in both texts.
From a Christian perspective, the fullness of revelation is not spoken revelation. It's not the message given to the prophets. It's what we might call a personal revelation. It's Christ himself. This is why Christ is known by Christians as the Word of God, something seen most clearly in the opening of the Gospel of John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It's interesting to note that in the Quran as well, Jesus is referred to not as the Word of God, but as a Word. In two different verses, in Quran chapter 3, verse 45, in chapter 4, verse 171, the Quran speaks of Jesus as a word who comes from God. Having said that, we might add that even though Christian language is found here in the Quran, the meaning of this term, word of God, is not the same in the Quran and the Bible. In the Quran, it clearly doesn't redound, it doesn't imply the divinity of Christ.
He also discussed the structural similarities of the Gospels in both texts from a literary perspective.
There's four Gospels. The word Gospel also appears in the Quran. Interesting to note, in the Quran it's always Gospel in the singular, and whereas we have in the New Testament Gospels in the plural, four of them. The Quran speaks about one text, in Arabic the word is Injil, which has been sent to Jesus. Now, this Arabic term, Injil, you can maybe even hear behind it the Greek term, euangelion, which means gospel. Euangelion, if you hear the N and the G sound, has become Injil in Arabic. Again, we see that Christian language has entered the Quran, but again, the Quran has a different conception or connotation of this Christian language. The Christian idea of gospels is not like the Injil. For the Quran, the Injil is a book brought down from heaven to earth to Jesus, as the Quran was brought down from heaven to earth to Muhammad. Thus we read in the third chapter of the Quran, He hath revealed unto thee the scripture with truth, confirming that which was revealed before it, even as he revealed the Torah and the Injil. In the New Testament, however, the Gospels, what in Arabic we would say Enajil, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, are not books given to Jesus, but they are books which preserve the deeds and the words of Jesus.
Dr. Saeed Reynolds also elaborated on the cultural influences of the Quran in Western society.
So what is the relationship between the Quran, a focus on the Quran, and Western culture, Christianity, secularism? Can they be held together? Are they ultimately compatible? The key word in the question of interpreting the Quran as any religious scripture is authority. Now, who has the authority to interpret the text? And who has the authority to impose or to try to persuade the Muslim community of their particular interpretation? And we find the fact that because Islam is structured in such a way that there's a diversity of different religious authorities, there's no one central body, there's no magisterium, there's no Vatican, we have diverse representations of Islam throughout the world. And in fact, what we see today is that in the West, for the most part, the sort of Islam that lives out here is compatible with the secular society, and in some profound ways differs from Islam as it's lived out in the Islamic world. We're in a different cultural context, and we can do things differently. We can adapt to the context. And if you want to hear the sermon, and most mosques will welcome even non-Muslims to come and visit, you're welcome to come inside the mosque and listen to the sermon. So Islam, I think, has shown itself to be very adaptable to different cultural contexts.
For the WRKC News at 5, I'm News Director Katie Pugh.
Spring is in the air, and so is spring football. Intern Michael Palmer has part two of his two-part series on spring ball, featuring an interview from returning starter C.J. Curry.
Today is part two of my interview with C.J. Curry, a King's College football monarch, about the outlook and expectations of spring football and the 2017 football season. What does football mean to the King's College campus? Well, the football monarchs are on an up-and-coming program and have gained some respect throughout the MAC conference and on campus as well. The attitude the coaches are trying to create this year is break the mold and dare to be great, because nobody is going to give it to you. You have to earn it.
Incredibly important. You know, you see all these teams, and, you know, the teams that you talk about perennially are, you know, the Alabamas, the Clemsons. You know, they do things right. The New England Patriots, the San Antonio Spurs. I mean, they're perennially unbelievable teams who are always in the playoffs. You always have them in your thoughts that they're going to win a championship, because you know that the coaches are going to have them in the spot to do that. And I think that our coaches, you know, right now we have a core group of coaches that are ultimately focused on that one goal, but also, you know, getting us as men ready. And that's what these other coaches are doing too, the Belichicks, the Popoviches, the Sabins. They're all doing those type of things too, to get their players ready now, to make sure that they're ready in season and doing it. So, you know, I think that, you know, 5-5 and 500 teams, I mean, right now in King's College, you know, we want to make a statement, not just for football, but for all sports. And we want people to know that when you think of Wilkes-Barre, hey, you think of Kings, but you think of, you know, winning programs, that you're not just going to see these guys on the schedule and say, well, that's an easy week. You know, we don't want that. We don't want that people to think of us like, we don't want that reputation. So I think that that's one of those things, you know, going back to, you know, what I said before about relating it back to a Ray Lewis quote about being mediocre. You know, we gotta work now, because we know that, you know, some of these teams are looking at us and they're saying, you know, this is an automatic win for us, and we want to kill that perception right now. So that's why we're working hard, because, you know, we want to win games and we want to be champions. And you know, those are just the type of things that, you know, we're trying to get after right now.
The new atmosphere being established within the program is a good thing, because a new sense of dependence has been started. Change is good, but if you're not passionate about this game, then that's the difference between a win and a loss.
It's really hard, because, you know, you lose a lot of guys from last year, and guys who have been with us for 3-4 years, great players, all conference players, just complete leaders of the team, that we lost. And now we got to try to fill the gap and try to fill the shoes of some of these guys, the Mike Palmers, the Bobby Russells, you know, these guys that, you know, the Tyler Majasics, our captains, these guys who were, you know, led our team, who we really depended on to kind of look for as guidance during the season, and to kind of keep our minds on the right track in the spring and in the season. So it's different now that we have, you know, a new group of guys coming up as leaders, and we need more leaders to step up, because, I mean, it's football is a full-time job in college, but you gotta love it. So right now we're trying to see, you know, who can we depend on now to not miss workouts, to be at every practice and give it their all, because if you can't count on them now, how can you count on them in the fourth quarter of a game on a Saturday during the season? And those are the types of things that, you know, us as a team are really looking for, it so we could depend on each other. We know that we have each other's backs at all times, and that when we go into battle together, we're never leaving a man behind. And wins and losses come a dime a dozen, but, you know, we all just want to be together and make sure that, you know, we have this group of guys that's going to fight and fight till the end. And I mean, whatever happens, happens. But we know that, you know, we gave it all for our brothers, and that's the kind of thing that we're trying to establish as a program right now.
It's only the first day of spring ball, and you can already tell these King's College Monarchs are on a mission. Let's see if they can keep that positive attitude going throughout the spring.
You know, obviously, you know, I'd be amiss if I didn't say, you know, we're working for a MAC championship. We want to be 10-0. And I mean, you know, some people say if you can't laugh at someone's goals, they're not big enough. You know what I mean? Some people, oh, King's going 10-0, King's winning the MAC, impossible. Well, you know what? That's fine, and they could laugh now. But you know, we're working hard, and we're working as hard as we possibly can to make sure that once we get into the season, we're taking it one game at a time, and we got to win that week. We got to go 1-0 every single week, and it's possible in this. In this conference, you know, there's obviously every other team out there is unbelievable, as we could see. I mean, there's teams beat each other every week. Upsets happen every single week. I mean, undefeated teams getting beat by teams with one win. It's just one of those things that whoever comes out ready to play that week with the attitude that you're not beating us today, I think that team can get it done. So I think that realistically, you know, our expectations are we're going after a ring, and we want that ring, and that's what we're doing right now, and that's the only focus that we have. And I think that our team does a good job of being selfless in that. You know, nobody cares who gets the yards. Nobody cares if Alvante runs for 200 or Whitehead passes for 500. Nobody cares if Bruce makes 25 tackles or if Jacoby makes 25 tackles. I think that's the one great part about our team, and as long as we can get it done, and as long as at the end of the day we have a W in the column, and that every single week we're doing that, and we just keep getting better, and we keep fighting, and we keep racking up those W's, I think that, you know, we're all going to be happy. And once we complete that goal and we get some hardware for our fingers, I think it's going to be well worth it.
The expectations are set, and this is only day one of spring ball. You can tell these guys are ready. Let's see if their hard work and discipline from the offseason can carry on under the lights on a Thursday at Betzer Field come September. From a retired Monarch and former captain, for WRKC News at 5, I'm Michael Sarge Palmer.
Coming up next, we'll get a special WrestleMania edition of the sports update and take a look at the weather for the rest of the week.
Sherman Gillums Jr., Paralyzed Veterans of America.
For more than 70 years, Paralyzed Veterans of America has helped hundreds of thousands of veterans get all the benefits they have earned.
Al Kovac Jr., Paralyzed Veterans of America.
We provide one-on-one support tailored to your individual needs, including healthcare advocacy, benefit support, and career assistance.
For more information, call 1-800-424-8200 or visit pva.org. A public service of Paralyzed Veterans of America.
I'm Bobby Hackney.
I'm Dennis Hackney.
And I'm Bobby Duncan.
And we're the band Death, and you're listening to WRKC Wilkes-Barre.
The news at 5 continues on 88.5 WRKC Wilkes-Barre.
Yes, 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 that's right. WWE's premier flagship pay-per-view, WrestleMania, is back for the 33rd consecutive year. Florida's Orlando Citrus Bowl is the site of this year's event. That will have 14 matches with 8 championships on the line. There could possibly be 8 new champions. The chance that Roman Reigns retires, the Phenom, the Undertaker, and a new superstar to emerge. King students talked about some WrestleMania predictions and what to expect from the WWE going forward. Derek McManus and Paul Tortorelli spoke about their expectations for WrestleMania.
Big show this year. Every single year, they always put on a good show. But this year, some interesting matches, interesting match choices. Overall, I mean, I'm hoping that it's going to be a good show, but we're going to see. We're going to see how these matches play out. A lot of singles matches, a lot of build-up to these matches, you know, here and there has been a little lax. But we'll see. I'm hoping for the best, and I'm hoping for a good show.
You know, WrestleMania, each and every year, they do something that tries to one-up the show from the previous year, so it'll be interesting to see how they try to do that.
Out of the 14 matches, Paul and Derek spoke about what match they are most excited for.
You're going to start to see a lot of these younger guys or these vets who have been in the business for a while come up and make some type of impact and refresh the product.
What I'm very excited about is Seth Rollins and Triple H, though. I think that non-sanctioned kind of idea, it's a little bit new. Normally, it's no disqualification or something like that, but they didn't even put that in there, so who knows what's going to happen there. I expect that match to be pretty brutal. I expect it to be basically a showstopper of a match, because that's all that Triple H knows how to do. And of course, he's paired with Seth Rollins here.
There are many high-profile matches. Derek and Paul spoke about the match between The Undertaker and Roman Reigns.
¶¶
know, when you go up against The Undertaker, that's a big thing. That's a huge point in your career. I mean, you've had some of the best superstars go up against them when they were real hot. You know, you had Shawn Michaels, you had Triple H, you had Edge. Edge was real hot when he went up against him. Batista. This is huge when you get an opportunity to face The Undertaker at WrestleMania. If he wins, obviously it's huge for him, but I can't imagine the fans liking that as much. I just can't see it. Honestly, my prediction is that he loses. I don't think that he could beat The Undertaker, but I still think they have an angle for him with somebody else, even if he loses. So I think a loss for Roman Reigns isn't necessarily bad, but a win, especially with the fans, might not go over so well.
I think it's disgraceful. The WWE has done everything in their power to shove this guy down the fans' throats, figuratively, of course. For him to go up against The Undertaker and potentially beat The Undertaker, it's looking very likely that's going to happen. It's just going to kill his career. Any hopes that he had of salvaging it or the WWE fans will be done.
To end WrestleMania, WWE legends Brock Lesnar and Goldberg will face off for the Universal title. Derek and Paul weighed in on the match.
Well, you know, we already saw two squash matches, you know, already between these two. And honestly, you're pairing up two guys who are a little bit older, but these guys can't keep up a competitive match for so long. So I think the writing's already on the wall here that this match is not going to last too long. And it's a little disappointing because, you know, there's a lot on the line here. We got a championship on the line here. So this is a big thing. And honestly, I'm hoping for a good match, but my gut tells me that Lesnar's going to win this match, especially since Goldberg won the last two. I got to tell you, I think Lesnar takes the win here, but once again, it's disappointing. I don't expect any long match at all.
I'm not really into this match because they've had two previous matches before, once at the Royal Rumble and once at Survivor Series, and Goldberg beat Brock Lesnar really quick. So I'm assuming Brock Lesnar is going to beat Goldberg in record time. He is walking out as the champion.
This is the sound of how WrestleMania will end. For the WRKC News at 5, I'm Sports Director Dan Stokes.
And now the weather. Tonight will be clear with a low of 31, tomorrow will be partly cloudy with a high of 53, and Friday will be rainy with a high of 45. The King's Theatre Department's production of Doubt, a Parable begins tomorrow night at 7:30. Be sure to reserve your tickets by emailing boxoffice@kings.edu. The Student Athlete Advisory Council is also holding an It's on Us Sexual Assault Awareness Walk on Friday. Be sure to stay tuned for Geek Week with Chris and Nick at 6 p.m. This has been the WRKC News at 5. I'm Program Director Nick Rotundo. Have a great Wednesday.
This has been the News at 5 on WRKC, Radio King's College, Wilkes-Barre.